It's fun. It's wild. It's Dad's Gone Crypto.
Welcome, everybody, to Dad's Gone Crypto. Today, we've got a very special episode. We had a couple scheduling conflicts. Sean couldn't join me today. So I thought, you know, why not bring in my son, Ryan Jr., to have a little conversation with us. Get the younger generations, the Gen Zers perspective on crypto. And also, you know, I think it'll be cool for a lot of you guys out there that are maybe thinking about getting into crypto that haven't really committed yet, because, you know, Ryan's just starting to learn about crypto. You know, it's something he's heard me talking about it forever, and he put a little bit in it here and there, but, you know, he hasn't really gotten real deep into it yet. So starting to learn, and, you know, I'm gonna ask him a few questions. He'll probably ask me a few questions. We can kind of talk a little bit here, and hopefully y'all get some value out of it. So, Ryan.
Well, hi. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. It's great to have you here, son.
It took a long way. I had to go all the way from upstairs.
That's right. So, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, and I'll start with that.
Well, I'm 22 years old. I just graduated from college this year. I went to Baldwin Wallace University, where I studied film there. Haven't done too much with that yet, but I'm working on building a brand for myself, making a name for myself, and I'm just starting out in, you know, the workforce and in crypto. So I'm fresh to the game, and I'm ready to learn more. And, well, it helps that I have a dad who is very invested in it. So
fantastic.
Yeah.
And might as well have a little drink too.
Cheers.
Ryan went down to. Ryan went down to Nashville for a friend's bachelor party and got his dad a nice little gift here of bourbon, so he knows what I like, and figured we'd have a drink with y'all, too. So you're not super into crypto yet, but
correct,
just starting to learn a little bit. What do you kind of find... So you're 22, you just graduated college. Are you kind of finding amongst your peers, are people like real into crypto, never heard of crypto, somewhere in between?
Well, it's an interesting question, because being in Gen Z, a good portion of my life is spent on my phone, just looking at other people from my own generation doing a bunch of shit that I've never even seen before.
Right.
So... It's a hard question to answer, because I see plenty of people my age who are well-versed in cryptocurrencies, who make it their job even to work in that field, to day trade and to tell other people about it. People have shows kind of like this. Plenty of young people do. But most of the people that I know personally, people in my own friend group, people that live around here, they don't know anything about it. If they've even heard of it, they have no inkling of how to get involved in it or do anything associated with it. So it's a weird sort of dichotomy there. Like, people that I've seen on the internet know everything they could about it, people my age, but people that I actually talk to personally, I have yet to meet that know really anything about it.
That is really surprising to me. I kind of assumed that your generation was like all about crypto, you know, because you said, you're all, you know, you're all about your phones, you're all about your technology. You were raised on technology.
Yeah.
And I just assumed, you know, I assumed you guys were all playing in crypto and learning all about
it. Well, it's a weird kind of thing, because I think anyone my age could probably quite easily get into it, but we're also, you know, I see one video on my TikTok or my, you know, Instagram reel that has crypto on it, but then I just scroll right past it and there's a video of, you know, cats or something. Like, you know, I'm just saying, we got a lot of distractions.
That's
so
true.
You know, if you don't have an in, it's weird, because it's the access is there.
Right.
It's not hard to learn about. But if you don't have some sort of in or some reason to get involved in it, I don't think the interest is there for a lot of people my age.
Well, I guess that's true. I guess if you think about it, like, you're just starting out, so it's not like you've got a big stash of money or anything like that that you could really invest with. But it's funny because crypto kind of allows, it allows new people to come in really inexpensively. Mm-hmm. You know, like old school investing, if you're in stocks and bonds and that kind of thing, you know, you had to have quite a bit to invest. You know, if you weren't throwing 10K around easily, you know, at a minimum, you really weren't doing a whole lot with that kind of, with that kind of thing. Crypto though, it's got so many opportunities for young people. I mean, and even if it's just something silly like meme coins, I mean, you see people that, a friend of mine, his son is about your age, he's maybe a little bit older. And, he was telling me that he threw like a couple $100 into Dogecoin because he had just heard about it or whatever. Had no idea. He was just like, you know, his friends were telling him about it. And I think he was able to buy it on, I don't even know, whatever, one of the platforms, maybe Robinhood or something like that. But he, it flew, you know, and he was putting a little more money into it. And he ended up making like thousands of dollars on Dogecoin.
Right.
And he did it with just a tiny bit of money, you know, no more than $500. So it's funny because I think crypto actually offers that opportunity if you don't have a lot of money to put in, but it's definitely, there's definitely that learning curve. You really gotta, because there's, it's real easy to lose that money too. I mean, because that kid definitely, he lost all that money on Doge too, you know. I mean, I wouldn't say he lost it, but you know, Doge came crashing back down. You know, it went all the way up to like 70 cents. I think it's under 7 cents right now. So, you know, it's 10 times less value than it had. I think it's a cool opportunity. I think it'd be fun to maybe try to get some of your friends into it. Because like I said, Ryan's learning. He's learning from Crypto Dad here. So.
For sure, yeah.
You know.
And I know, I'm sure plenty would be interested. It's just, it really is a matter of having that in, I think. Like, I was able to put some money into crypto already because I had you as an in.
Right.
You told me about it before I had even heard about it, you know, online anywhere.
Okay.
So there is still that weird kind of impasse, or I'm not sure what the right word is, but there's some sort of barrier, I guess, of knowledge, I think, for crypto, especially for the younger generation. I don't know why.
Yeah, that's really interesting, because I really would have thought, because I know at my age, most of my friends had no idea what crypto was, and most of my friends, you know, they've heard the terms before, they heard about Bitcoin and this and that, but, you know, I mean, you know, my close friends, they come over, you know, we have little meetings about crypto and stuff, so I've introduced it to them, and they're totally into it now.
Yeah.
And it's starting to spread a little bit, you know, like our friend groups are expanding a little bit, and some of my friends that I've brought into it have gone out and talked to other people, and they're kind of bringing more and more people into it. But I, like, it's weird because I expect that from guys our age. But for you guys, yeah, I just assumed you guys check out a YouTube video and you're like, yeah, what's crypto? And you just, you know, pop it in the computer a couple seconds and all of a sudden you're experts.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I will say, I feel like there's a lot of that on our end anyways to begin with. Like I said, we always have, we have so much to distract us
right.
that for most people, I'm sure that just fell onto the side of things that, you know, I'll worry about later.
Yeah.
What you were saying before about how, you know, it can still be pretty high risk, you know, if you don't understand the learning curve. Mm-hmm. I think that's probably a big part of it too. Obviously, people my age don't have nearly as much money going in.
Right.
You know, just coming out of college, coming out of high school, you know, we're beginners in so many other fields, so many other, you know, parts of our lives than just crypto. So, it's probably also partly that where it's just something that we're afraid to get into because it's, you know, I barely have any money to begin with. So, you know, if I don't get this exactly right, I'm going to lose all my money that I have anyways. So it's just not worth it.
That makes a lot of sense. Well, I guess we got to have some little education classes with you and your friends.
Yeah.
You know, we could talk about it a little bit and help you guys get in. So, what do you think would be a good way to do something like that? Like, how do you think I could help bring some of your friends in? So, like, if part of this whole deal with Dad's Gone Crypto, it really is, it's mostly speaking to the guys my age, maybe a little younger, you know, guys in their 30s to 60s, you know, somewhere in that age group, right? And it's really speaking to those guys and trying to help them navigate crypto a little bit, because a lot of people my age, like I said, really, really don't have any idea about it. So the whole idea here is to kind of be bringing new people in, because we're in a bear market. I don't know if you, do you get like the bear bull market kind of idea? Do you kind of understand where that's at or what that is?
Kind of, yeah. I understand the difference.
Mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily know that I would have the tools to determine
okay.
which we would be in if I didn't have you to tell
right.
me about it, you know?
Okay. So right now, you know, we're in this market dip, right? So Bitcoin runs on like a 4-year cycle, and all cryptocurrencies basically run with Bitcoin. I mean, there's some that are going to go up or down regardless, but, you know, for the most part, the market itself runs on this 4-year cycle, and it's all based on the Bitcoin halving. So the Bitcoin halving is, you know, the miners create Bitcoin, and the Bitcoin halving that happens about once every 4 years basically cuts their reward in half. So what that does, it's a supply shock. So instead of, you know, however many Bitcoin being made today, now the next day after the halving, half that many Bitcoin are being made. So it's a supply shock of, okay, now there's all this demand, but there's not enough supply. Mm-hmm. And that's why the price tends to rise. We're probably a year and a half away or so right now from the halving. So that, you know, we're kind of starting to come out of this bear market, this real dip that we've been in for quite a while. But it's right now is the absolute perfect opportunity for people to be starting to learn about crypto and get in. Yeah. Because when I first got in back a couple cycles ago, I got in like at the top. You know, I spent way too much money and watched all that money just go down yeah. in value. And it was a huge learning experience, you know. I mean, I definitely was paying for an education there because,
<Yeah.
laughs> you know, just want, you know, buying in high and keep thinking that it's going to go back up, and it just keeps dropping and dropping and dropping and never selling, never taking any profits. So, you know, you just gave it all right back to the market. But, you know, this right now, we're coming into this bull market. So we're starting at, you know, we're kind of at the bottom of this cycle right now. So it's a really great time for new people to learn and get in. I would say, you know, you probably have a couple more months to really start getting in a little bit before the market starts really starting to rise again. And that's usually the unfortunate thing is nobody really talks about Bitcoin. People aren't real excited about it until the prices start going up.
Yeah.
But at that point, now you're spending.
Late,
yeah. Well, I mean, it's not necessarily too late, but you're spending way more. You know, right now you could be getting Bitcoin under $27,000. You know, 6 months from now, who knows? You might be paying double that.
So if you're already in the game, you're going to see way better gains, is what you're saying.
Exactly. And that's why right now is an awesome time for people to just, you know, just be learning about crypto, which is really why we started this. You know, we started the show in the bear market because we really wanted to bring a lot of people in. You know, people were always asking me, different friends and stuff, advice about crypto. And same with Sean and Michael, you know, we all started talking about it. And we're like, well, why don't we just, you know, put a little show together and start talking to people about it.
Yeah.
So that's how it was created. So with that in mind, I'm going to get back to my original question. But with that in mind, do you have any thoughts? Like, how do you think we could start getting some, you know, some of your generation, some of you guys to really start looking at crypto and understanding you don't need a ton of it, you know, to make something happen this cycle?
Well, I definitely think this will be the cycle that a lot more people my age, my generation, will get involved in anyways.
Right.
That just seems like the trend. Going off of that sort of 4-year cycle that you were talking about, I couldn't have told you what a Bitcoin was, you know, 6-7 years ago.
Right.
And I know I was a lot younger then anyways, but it's still sort of the course of my generation. Over this last cycle, as I've, you know, started to learn of its existence and sort of, you know, get into it, I've developed, you know, a very basic and minimal understanding of cryptocurrency. And like I said, a lot more people in my generation have already taken steps that you've taken, have already gotten in the game. And I feel like as this next cycle occurs, it seems like it's going to become a bit bigger, especially because like of shows like this. And a lot more of the crypto game is now being talked about on social media and on online platforms.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just where my generation thrives. But you mentioned this before about how you know, when you first started getting in, you sort of paid for that learning experience. Like, you started at the top. Another thing I think about my generation is that we're very careful about the things that we get involved in because we have so much access, we have so much available knowledge to us that we probably do tend to wait a lot longer before we take risks on things like that. So seeing more of these things pop up, I think will just automatically allow for a lot more people in my generation to get involved, or at the very least to start looking at it and saying, mm-hmm. what is this? That's like a more natural flow, I think, of just the way my generation has worked in the past, from what I've seen. So I think it's kind of the same thing with politics. My generation has gotten very involved with that over time, and it takes a little bit longer for us to really get interested in things like that because we have the ability to kind of step back and watch other people do it for us, basically. Yeah.
That's really interesting. I never really thought about it that way. Like, I always just look at you kids as, you know, you're freewheeling, you're having fun.
Yeah.
And you're not, you've got so much access to information that when I was your age, I didn't have any of that. I had no access to information like that. And you have so much access. I mean, it's almost like information overload.
Precisely.
So, like, I could totally see where you're coming from with the, not being able to focus on one area. And also, like you said, the caution. You've got so much access to information, you see the problems, you see things that have happened to people, you see the giant hacks where people have just lost $1 million and everything, and I could see that actually making you more cautious. That's really interesting.
Things like that, and especially because my generation is also probably well known for not doing their due diligence on things. Mm-hmm. So, you know, seeing one pop-up story about how, you know, someone ruined their life in crypto is probably enough to turn it off completely for a lot of people. So
while
my generation, you know, has the ability to sit back, like I said, and wait for other people's successes to decide if they want to get involved, they probably will look at their failures just as much and say, that's not for me, and just step away from it and go find the next thing.
Wow, that's really interesting. That's a interesting take. So, all right, so with all that in mind, what do we do?
Yeah.
Give me some advice. How do I bring some young guys in? One thing that I really think is going to have an impact on your generation is the fact that crypto is becoming so ingrained with gaming. You know, you're starting to see gaming and crypto kind of merge a little bit, and I really think this coming cycle you're going to really see that, because last cycle we had a lot of crypto gaming going on, like these play-to-earn games and things like that, but they're not very, you know, they're not good. They're not good games. You know, you guys are playing really advanced, really cool games. These things that maybe seem kind of cool to my generation and, you know, us older guys that were raised on Pong, it's very different, but so we kind of thought those games were cool, these new games coming into crypto, right? But for the younger generation, everybody's just like, why would I play this? Like, even if I can earn money, it's the most boring thing in the world.
Yeah.
You know, I'd rather just get a job. But now, this cycle, we've got some really cool games coming out. There's some really cool first-person shooters. There's some really great like Battle Royale kind of stuff coming out. So I think that's going to probably do a good job of starting to bring some people in. So imagine, like, you're like, I know you play, what's the game you play all the time?
Destiny, Apex Legends, Call of Duty, that kind of thing.
Yeah, so those games, think about, like, so and you're like always trying to get skins and assets and things, right?
Oh, totally.
So that's kind of like what you're fighting for, right?
Yeah.
So imagine if you could take those skins and you could actually own them outside of the game and take them from this game to that game or whatever. Let's say you get a really, let's say you got a really cool gun in Destiny and you can use it in Apex Legends. And it's all because you actually purchased that as an NFT. And that NFT gives you the ability to take that from one game to another game. It, you know, obviously the games have to be, have to work in unison with each other.
Similar, like, frameworks.
Right, exactly. Yeah. But that is a thing that's starting to come out in crypto. You're starting to see these gaming companies come out with these multiple games within their, you know, basically within their company, multiple games. So let's say, like, everything that's, you know, what's a big gaming company that you guys...
Oh,
like, who makes Destiny or
That would be, so Bungie, okay. For example.
So like, alright, so let's just
EA
take that.
Is another big
yeah,
one.
So like, yeah. Let's take Bungie, for instance, right?
Yeah.
What if all of the games within there could use the same assets across all the games?
Okay, yeah.
That, you I know, see what you're so saying. So like there's gaming companies that are coming into crypto that see the value of this NFT kind of thing, and what they're doing is they're creating NFTs for their assets, their in-game assets, and then anywhere across their platform you can use those assets. It's not out yet. As far as I know, I haven't actually seen it in use yet, but I keep hearing people talk about it at different conferences and things, and I think that's going to be really cool. Do you think something like that would interest?
It sounds interesting, to say the least. I know it sounds like it's still highly in, you know, development stages and that kind of thing. The one thing about gaming, which leads me kind of... it makes me less inclined to believe that it may be as big as some people are saying, as some people, as the hype may say. The thing about gaming is, especially nowadays, because there's so much that already comes out, you know, there's so many companies that are just pumping out games that the best of the best really succeed to a particular level. Obviously, you have different niches in that market. You have people that play first-person shooters or battle royales, like you said. You have the mobile gaming scene, which is a completely different story, and you know, everything in between that. The problem that I would have initially with supporting something like a first-person shooter based in crypto is, I guess, the quality that they're actually going for. I think, for me, who plays a lot of first-person shooter kind of games, quality is everything. Because when I started playing, you know, games like that, I picked up a lot of different titles, and I'd try them out for a week, maybe, or a month, and by the end of that period, I'd maybe have two games that I really focus on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, okay.
So, with a lot of people that game, especially in that kind of niche, you really have to be... You need a lot of reasons to make people stay.
Okay.
And you need a lot of reasons to keep people interested. And so I don't know if it would necessarily be an in. I think that's another thing for people my age. Because I think the kind of thing that you're talking about is something that you already need to be interested in crypto to want to partake in.
Okay.
Unless it's the best game ever, you know?
Right, right.
And at that point, you know... Who knows what'll happen?
Well, what if it's not? What if you don't have to be interested in crypto? So let's say you can purchase this NFT with a regular MasterCard, right?
Yeah.
Because you're buying in-game assets with
microtransactions. I'm using my credit card for
exactly. Yeah. So you're buying in-game assets anyway. So what I'm saying is, what if you could buy an in-game asset and actually use it across platform? I mean, isn't that something that would be cool to be able to do?
The concept of it sounds really cool to me as a gamer. It really just depends on the games themselves for me.
Well, that makes total sense. I mean, if the game sucks, you're not going
to
play.
Right. That's what it really comes down to, I guess. I guess
the only way you would play it, if you're into crypto and you can earn crypto for playing the game, maybe you might. Even if it's not, even if it's not like a perfect game, you might still play it because
you're
in crypto.
Part of
but
it
at
too.
That point, you've got to be into crypto, right?
Yeah.
So that's not really bringing people in.
Well, I will say too, that's another big part of it where, you know, the gaming industry has completely exploded, and streaming is a really big part of that because it's, you know, if you get big enough, you get a big audience. That's a surefire way to make some good money just playing video games at home, doing something that you love, you know.
Right.
And you know, it doesn't work out for everybody, but there's a crap ton of streamers that, you know, make money doing that kind of thing. So now that that has become a really big part of gaming, a lot of people my age who are gamers have taken interest in that. You know, like me and my friends will, you know, we'll stream sometimes, but it's not because, you know, we think we're going to make any money off it. We just think it's cool.
Right.
And, you know, we do it for, you know, this reason or that. So having another financial in sort of on that side of like the gaming industry with crypto, I wouldn't know anything about how lucrative something like that would be, but just the concept alone of being able to make money playing video games is something that is interesting for Gen Z.
Okay.
100%.
So there you go.
So that alone, I think, would interest people, but you really got to have the right combination of, you know, what particular niche of game are people going to be interested in that asset? Mm-hmm. What sort of game is it going to be, basically? And, you know, how many people are going to be interested in making the switch from whatever games they're already playing to your game, your crypto game, just for it being crypto?
Right.
You know, or is it going to be the next big thing?
Right.
That would be, you know, the sort of decision you'd have to make there. Or, like, that's something to think about, I guess, for people who are in development
right.
of crypto-based games, you know, right now. Is the interest in crypto going to be enough? Is your game going to be polished enough to, you know, to have people have that interest or whatever, I guess? Or are you confident enough that it's going to be able to contend with games being made by EA, you know?
Right.
That's sort of the thing.
There are some, like I said, last cycle weren't very many decent games.
Yeah.
This cycle, there really are some cool games coming out. So I think you guys might have some fun with them. So we'll definitely have to check those out. So one other thing with that. So let's say I'm just kind of spitballing, but what if like a game, so all right, it's crypto based, right? But what if you don't necessarily have to even know it's crypto? So like you're buying whatever, the NFT or the asset with a credit card, and maybe you're earning with it, right? You're earning crypto with it, mm-hmm. but you've got like a hardware wallet that allows you to convert back to US dollars. So maybe you don't even, you know what I mean? Like, what is that the kind of thing you think might help bring people more in? Because I know that kind of thing is happening too. We're starting to see wallet tech change to where, you know, you basically could have crypto on a credit card so that, you know, it automatically will convert your crypto back down to dollars if you want to spend it.
Yeah, okay. I see what you're saying. So that's that then turns into more of an ease of use thing, you Ooh. Know, where, like you kind of said, it's you're taking the crypto that you have, but when you're thinking about it in real terms, however you're going to spend that or however you're going to use it, you're just thinking about it in dollars of cents. So I definitely think that ease of use is a benefit. It just depends, I guess. Gaming is an odd niche to use it to use it as an example, because a lot of gamers, I think, are very protective over the games that they play. They're very limited in the specific kinds of games that they want to play, much less the specific games themselves. So I think it's, in that sense, it's a challenging industry to have a universal impact on, I guess, so to speak. And having ease of use like that, I think, would go a long way for sure. Because it's just one more reason that you may be interested in it for. But I really don't know. You know, it's hard to say, I guess, is what I'm saying. As a gamer myself, it really comes down to how I'm spending my time, I guess, because that's a good way to look at it. If I'm trying to look at it as myself, as a gamer personally, it could have all that interesting stuff with the crypto involved. It could have the ease of use, but when it really comes down to it, if I'm not having fun, I'm probably not going to stay involved in it that long. Even if I'm making money on it,
right.
I'm probably still not going to stay involved with it if I'm not having fun. And I think people in the gaming industry know that anyways.
Right.
So I'm sure they probably focus on that to begin with. So it really depends. Depends on how far they go.
Well, there you go. Whoever, all you out there developing crypto games, make them fun or people aren't going to play them. So what about NFTs? I mentioned a couple times while we were talking about the games. Do you have a grasp of like what an NFT is?
Not too much. I don't have nearly as much experience dealing with them as I would just purchasing crypto, for example.
Right.
I sort of understand the basics of what they are, but I don't necessarily get, and I think this is a big thing for a lot of people, especially in my generation, like who are getting interested in crypto. I really don't know what the difference is between investing in an NFT or purchasing an NFT versus purchasing Bitcoin, for example.
Okay.
So I don't really know what the benefit is to doing one or the other.
Okay. So like an NFT, it stands for non-fungible token. Mm-hmm. So non-fungible token means that it's unique. So like Bitcoin, you know, there's will be 21 million Bitcoin, and they're all the exact same. You can't differentiate one Bitcoin from another Bitcoin. With an NFT, it's non-fungible, it's unique. So that singular NFT is not like any other NFT in the world. Mm-hmm. So when you buy it, you're actually buying the value of that rarity, basically. So it would come back to gaming. I mean, NFTs are in a million different spaces, but like to bring it to gaming, to relate it to something that you know, like let's say you got like the most rare gun in Destiny, let's just say, right? It's the most rare gun, right? And you purchase it as an NFT, and then nobody else can have it. It's only yours, whatever you've done to it. So, I mean, I think that's kind of something cool that like you can customize something and make it your own, and then nobody else can have that exact same thing.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of, you know.
I want to touch on that just for a second, sure, kind of to segue off of that, just because you mentioned it in terms of gaming. Mm-hmm. For anyone out there who is working on crypto-based games, do not do what he just said. Mm-hmm. If you want to use NFTs to create cosmetics for your games, that's great. But gamers absolutely hate pay-to-win.
Ah.
If you're buying something and it's going to make you better at the game, especially if it's a multiplayer game, if you have a leg up on someone else, everyone is going to hate that.
Really? Okay, yeah. Cool.
It happens outside the crypto sphere.
Right.
Sometimes games will do it, you know, where, you know, you can buy this or that gun, for example, in a first-person shooter, and it's just better than all the other guns in the game, and you automatically have a leg up on it. Or even if you can earn the gun in-game, but maybe you can pay to level it up, for example.
Okay.
People absolutely hate that.
All right, so gamers want to earn their equipment. They don't want people purchasing equipment.
Precisely.
Okay.
And there's plenty of people that don't have a problem with it.
Right.
Obviously,
right.
I'm not talking about those people. Anyone that, you know, participates in pay to win obviously likes to use pay to win. But
it's probably mostly old guys like me.
I mean, yeah, you never know. But that's the thing. You know, you never know, obviously. But people that don't want to participate in it will not play a game that has pay to win in it.
Okay.
Most likely.
Okay.
You know, that's why. And a lot of the mainstream, so to speak, gaming companies have learned that over the years. That's why, like, Apex Legends, for example, has microtransactions in it. It is all about microtransactions. It's a free-to-play game, but you can spend ungodly amounts of money getting random shit in that game, but it's all cosmetic.
Okay.
It's strictly cosmetic. You get skins for your characters, you get skins for your guns, that sort of thing, and other little cosmetic things. But no amount of money will ever make you have a leg up on someone else in the game. You can't buy a better gun in Apex Legends.
Cool.
So
cosmetic NFTs, cool.
Yeah.
Functional NFTs, no good.
I would steer away from it.
Okay.
It depends on the specifics. It depends on the niche type of game. Like I said, if it's not a multiplayer game where people are dealing with one another or specifically competing against one another, I'll say.
Right.
Usually it's not a problem, I guess.
Well, I guess that makes sense. Like if you're playing a game against the computer and you can buy something to make you better against the computer, why not? But if it's multiplayer and it's me versus you and I bought the best gun to make myself better,
I'm just not going to play.
Yeah, I get it.
It makes it less
fun
too, because either I'm also going to pay for that gun, and then everybody's just using that gun, and it's the exact same thing. There's no differentiation. There's no uniqueness to what you're creating and how you're going to, you know, go out and fight the other people or whatever. Or I'm just going to quit the game and I'm going to go find something else because there will be something better.
Yeah.
You know, that's just the long and short of it.
Well, that makes total sense.
Yeah. That's just my personal perspective on that, but that's what I've seen in the gaming industry in that specific niche.
Yeah, I mean, you're making a lot of sense to me.
Yeah.
I see that. I mean, shoot, we play that Clash Royale game, right? The little game on our phones, and how often am I yelling about people
paying
the
to win,
pay
there,
to win jerks.
that's a good example.
There you go.
That
makes sense.
Right, yeah. So it really depends.
Okay.
And obviously that was off topic, but
well, no, it makes total sense. I mean, it all comes back into play. So.
In terms of the NFTs, I think that's a that's a good thing to think about in terms of the putting NFTs with gaming is just right. A very specific thing. But yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's really good. That's really insightful. So back to NFTs. I have knowledge of a couple projects coming out that I think are going to be real cool with, NFTs were real big last cycle. They kind of really died down, and now people are kind of coming up with new ways to make NFTs interesting again. Mm-hmm. And, one of these projects is, it's a fantasy based project, and they're writing all this lore, you know, and it's all about getting people into it. They're going to do like a little game along with it. I know they've got plans for like a metaverse, a battle royale kind of thing, but they also have plans to do kind of like a what do we call it, like a role playing game, like a Dungeons and Dragons kind of, like D&D. Kind of thing, something like that.
Yeah.
And using NFTs to give you, you know, to help give you your abilities within those type of games.
Okay.
That kind of thing. What about something like that? What makes sense within that realm?
That'll certainly strike the fancy of like another group of people.
Okay.
That's another.
Another. And again, I feel like your generation is like bringing back that kind of stuff, because like I know like in the 80s, you know, D&D and that kind of stuff was big, and then it kind of died down, and then it just seems like, to me, it seems like it's coming back again. I hear people talk about this kind of stuff all the time.
Yeah, I have plenty of friends who play D&D myself. Okay. And it's another one of those things where a big thing about Gen Z also, because like I said before, we have access to so much information. We, you know, we're always spending time online on our phones. We tend to have a very easy time finding our own groups,
okay.
Finding those particular niches that we're interested in. So another big thing about, you know, the people in the crypto industry getting involved in those sort of niches is that most likely, if you can find a way to communicate with those people, you're going to develop interest.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
No, that does make
sense. So specifically like what you said, for people or for crypto projects that are getting into the more RPG format, role-playing, a D&D style kind of game or, you know, format, whatever you're talking about with that specific project, I know plenty of people who are super into D&D, into role-playing and that sort of thing, and I'm sure they'd be interested in partaking in that sort of thing. I think the big thing, again, is just like we kind of discussed with gaming, it comes down to how you communicate to those people and how you find your in with those people.
Okay.
So I think a sort of developing trend that we're coming down to here in this conversation is figuring out a way to make these sorts of projects known to people in Gen Z, to the younger generations, and then figuring out what about those things interests them and how to get them involved in it. You know?
Okay.
So I think it's almost a sort of, there's the barrier between what people are doing in these projects and the spaces that Gen Zers put themselves in and how you connect those things. And obviously social media is the way to go.
For sure.
You know, that's the obvious, but it comes down to how you actually reach those people and how you pique their interest in those things, I guess.
Okay.
So, like you were saying about that one specifically, excuse me, yeah, that's just, it's another particular niche that a lot of people I know personally are involved in and have interest in. It's just a matter of connecting with them, I guess.
Okay.
So
that's interesting.
To answer your question, yes, I think it would work.
Okay.
It's just a matter of finding that group of people.
All right.
Yeah.
So all you devs out there, take notice. If you want to get Gen Z involved, you gotta reach them and get into their particular small little groups, yeah. Right?
And, you know, maybe that's an interesting thing in this discussion that we're kind of talking about, where you've kind of discussed sort of how a lot of people more your age are the ones who are heavily invested in crypto. You know, you talked about how, you know, you have your own friend group of people your age that, you know, you have this show suited more for.
Right.
That you're kind of talking directly to them. But I think as a whole, the crypto industry is still a lot more centered on people more your age, more your generation. Even though I've said, that may sound like I'm contradicting myself, because I did say, you know, there are people in my generation who are into it. There are people in my generation who probably make a lot of money off of it already.
Right.
But they're not the ones, as far as I know, they're not the ones who are running big programs and projects in this sphere, right, trying to connect with other people. They're just benefiting from it. Like I said,
right,
people in my generation will sit back and watch other people's successes and figure out how to do it themselves. If you're looking to connect with people in my generation, it does come down to that age barrier probably and figuring out how you can connect with people in the younger generation. So that's just something that I noticed, you know, you discussing. A lot of people who are running these projects are probably more in your generation, whereas the people that they may be targeting now in these newer projects are people in my generation.
Yeah.
So it really is a matter of figuring out how to make that connection.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense. Oh. Very insightful, son.
Thank you.
All right, well, thank you very much for the insights there into the younger generation that I know very little about, unfortunately. But now I think it's time to introduce that younger generation to dad jokes. You're not a dad, but you're going to have to come up with a good joke here, son. So let's see if you can make dad spit out his drink. So I'm going to take a sip. I'm going to try to hold it in my mouth and you tell me your joke and I'll try not to spit my drink all over you. All
right, here we go. Why do Jedi make the best doctors? Because a Jedi always has to have patience.
Well, I didn't spit my drink, but that was a good one.
Got him.
He's bringing Star Wars into the equation, so...
What can I say?
All right, well, I'll take a sip of your drink. All right. We'll see what I can do here. So, just started my job at the bank. Got fired on my first day. This lady comes in, asks me to check her balance. So I pushed her over.
That was pretty good.
Thanks. Oh, well, I'll tell you what, son. It has been fun. I think this has been a fun video. I hope you guys out there got a little bit of value out of it. We talked about the little generational divide here in crypto. And, hopefully you guys got some value. If you did, please don't forget to like and subscribe. And we'll see you next week. See you guys.
The material and information presented in this recording are for entertainment purposes only. Do not misconstrue what you hear as investment or trading advice. Always do your own research. The views, thoughts, and opinions expressed by the guests on this recording are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of Dad's Gone Crypto or its hosts.